It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, "Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart."
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Old pizza. I'm just giving this a moment to imagine it being real. You've got a panther in a motel bathroom. Old pizza. Where are you getting this pizza?
Seems faulty right from the inception here.
Old pizza sounds funny, but old pizza, like, what is he eating? He'd have to be eating many pizzas a day, but just not finishing them. A panther, how many pizzas could a panther eat in, like, one sitting?
A whole sheet pie.
10. You're just feeding it old pizza.
Yeah.
How far is that getting you? Panther's like, oh, I got a couple of, here's a couple of pieces of cheese and pepperoni pizza from lunch. Oh, that's great. Thanks. I'm all set for another day. I don't think so.
Yeah.
The panther's going to need more food than that.
I think a good question is maybe how discerning is this panther? Like, how old is the pizza? You know, because, you know, that there comes a point there, you know, you just, like, even if it's been in the fridge, it's like, that's from Saturday. I don't know.
Panther doesn't care.
Okay, good. Then,
I mean,
well, then,
think
in that
about
case,
your dog.
You could just be, like, stacking up, you know, whatever. Get a pizza, eat half of it, save half of it, and the panther's all set.
No, for like 5 minutes. Think about your dog. I mean, doesn't your dog eat, like, tissues and stuff, and paper? Mine does. This is my second dog, and they both loved paper products.
Define eat. Occasionally, there are things pulled out of the garbage, but they don't really get eaten. They more get... And I still... Fred's 8. I'm not really... I haven't really discerned what exactly the message is when he does this. Like, pay attention to me, take me for walks, feed me, play with me, pet me... Or just, I don't know, it's just obnoxious. But it's like, you know, tissues mostly.
When he eats paper.
But he doesn't really eat it, though. It's like he gets it out and just sort of leaves it.
He taunts you with it.
Yeah, he leaves it. Leaves it in the hallway outside the upstairs bathroom.
Well, I mean, classic Margo is whether it's a used tissue, paper towel. These things happen to be sitting around, I got to admit, sometimes in my house. Mm-hmm. Use tissues. They don't always make it to the garbage, apparently. Mm. Hats.
That happens
winter hats.
In our house, too, but Fred never touches it unless it's in the garbage. He gets it out of the garbage.
Winter hats with the, like, the pom-pom sort of top there, mm-hmm. the toques.
Yeah.
Her game is, if anybody leaves any of these things out, you leave the closet door open, you leave the bathroom door open. The kids' rooms, dare I say it, she comes out with anything from these rooms. This is a one-year-old pug, sits on the couch and stares you down, and you can't catch her. So the only move that I have ever been able to think of that works is a blueberry or cheese. Like, if you, all right, you're rewarding her for eating the garbage, which is not really how it should work, but there's no other way. She is going to tear apart that tissue, that hat, and you're never going to catch her. You're never going to get it from her unless you give her something else to eat. That is the game we play.
I feel pretty lucky that Fred is not really a destructor, chewer, like any. He's never messed with any single. The big dogs we had, the Mastiffs, Maggie and then Pearl, had their moments. Like, each of them it wasn't frequent, but they got a hold of something and be like, oh, I really like that hat. You know, one of those. Fred, knock on something here. I mean, I hope it continues.
It's not gonna start. Yeah.
He's never been like that.
He's not going to become that, right?
No, I wouldn't think so at this point.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is my dog ever going to become the other type that doesn't eat everything on the floor just so she can get another blueberry or another slice of provolone?
Right.
Okay, well, this should be a fun day.
Provolone?
Yeah, that's her cheese. That's her. That's I don't know how we have it in the house. She loves it. That was determined. So provolone, yeah. Wow. Why is it too high end?
I don't know. Oh, no. I just, any kind of cheese in Fred just sounds like we'd be asking for real trouble.
Well, he doesn't eat hats.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, I don't know either, but provolone,
I feel
yes.
Like cheese would not be good for Fred. I'm just he might love it, but I'm just saying I think we might pay a steep price.
This was me today. This is my wife normally on walks. Today I took Margo for a walk, and I have a bag of crumbled provolone so that she can, so she doesn't walk too far in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Stay here. If you do that for a few steps, cheese. But you can't say cheese in the house unless it's for Margo, because the word cheese is like
a cue for a treat.
Sirens.
Yeah, right.
What? Who said cheese? Right. Let's go.
Yeah.
I'm standing right here now. I just sped over to your feet. I'm waiting for my piece of cheese. If the show is on in my house right now, which it isn't, but it's going to be, it would be a disaster. All the times I'm saying, my voice saying cheese would just send her into a tizzy. Right now. I hope that's not what is happening. I'm sure it isn't. All right. It should be a fun day. We've got Trista. We have Ross Tucker at 4, moved up. He's got a game to call tonight. We have Sal before he takes a break. So we'll fit Sal in here on a Tuesday, of course. And Paul as well at the end before the Sabres California trip starts tomorrow night. So, you know.
Load it up.
Hopefully we can get our
We got a lot to do. Yeah.
And before all of that, reverse AFC power rankings powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. Some are calling it the greatest business decision of all time. Empire Electric sponsoring the reverse AFC power rankings in a season like this. Some are calling it that.
I feel confident that they'd be happy with how this has gone.
I would like to think so.
So I'm hopeful of that.
Plus, there was that one day I went into how I couldn't turn my light on and stuff. We gave them extra.
Right.
Not because they were unable to fix it.
I didn't get that far.
Right. I was unable to fix it. Okay. 16. Here's last week's.
I've thought about this whole operation. Oh, I shouldn't say that. The middle region is still going to be a mess. Like, I don't know. The bunch of teams that are around 500 and in the hunt, I'm not sure how I'll stack them up. But I was thinking today mostly about teams that are going to be starting over and are nowhere, you know, at the same time in the standings. And I feel like the Raiders have to be the 16.
I'll say Jets. I just think
it works.
I just think the degree of embarrassment and humiliation that continues now they fired their GM is more, it's worse. It's worse than the Raiders because it's just been, it was such a big bet. It has completely imploded. I made the bet with them. I love the idea. It's been a complete disaster. It gets worse every week. Firings. All of it.
I don't know if I've ever been more right about anything in the history of having this job than I have been about how this would go for the Jets.
Maybe. That might be true.
I mean, it's too bad I work in Buffalo. I don't know. Who knows if I would have felt the same way if I was doing this in New York. Anyway.
You think you could have gotten like a bonus?
I don't know. Yeah, probably. I don't think that's how it works. Well, good. Yeah, and they're you know, they don't have the worst record. They have one more win than the teams with the worst record. And they are nowhere. Yeah, they're starting over, including, you know, I would assume at quarterback again. And, that'll give them a chance to get better sooner than later. I mean, extending this Rodgers experiment into another year would be ridiculous at this point.
Yep.
So that's maybe the best thing they have going for them is that this all signals that that's over. And they can try to claw their way out of the wreckage they've created and start over again. But I don't know, man. Like, it's New York and it's the NFL. So, like, somebody with credibility is going to take those jobs. But, man, The owner,
like Robert Saleh,
right? The owner,
and Jeff Ulbrich.
The owner is taking a beating right now, and rightly so. Like, it might be the least desirable big market NFL job that's ever existed.
It might.
And that warrants number 16.
Jersey 16. Okay. 15.
I'll say Raiders next.
Sure. Okay. I mean, they're all about the same.
Yeah.
14. Titans.
Titans, yes.
There. So I did that show yesterday, ADP Chasing. I'm going to be on Monday mornings. And of the three of us, maybe Pat and I are close, Davis Maddock really knows college football. Like, that's a guy who can talk about next year's draft. And he's like, there shouldn't be one quarterback picked in the first round. There will be.
Of course
there will. But there shouldn't be.
Right.
There's a lot of top players, but none of them is a quarterback. Huh. Like, Sanders will be picked in the first round, and
Cam Ward. I kind of like Cam. I haven't studied him, but I've liked him when I've watched him. But it's mostly just highlights.
That's his opinion. These teams that are wanting to start over, last couple of years, it's been a pretty rich market.
Not a great year for that.
Maybe not. I'm not saying that like I know that, but
all right.
That's what he said. 13.
Browns.
Jacksonville.
See, Jacksonville, to me, the criteria I mentioned at the outset here, they still have Lawrence. Like, that's a better walking off point than I think the Browns are at. The Browns are, both teams are going to do the same things, I would expect. Like, just clean house, we're starting over. But the Browns have got to go into maybe not a very rich quarterback draft, according to one industry insider.
Yes.
Like how he did that, I turned that right into that. The Jaguars, maybe this will be worse for them in the long run, but they've got Lawrence, they're committed to that. Maybe he is still recoverable.
Well, that's the question. Like, if you could, don't worry about the salary cap, the money. If the Browns could take Trevor Lawrence, would they? And his contract? Like, would you do that? Just take him. Is that better for Cleveland than being where they are? I feel like Watson's probably done.
Yeah.
Winston is Winston. Like, maybe he gets them through the season.
You might be better off starting clean. Yeah, you might be better off starting clean. It really just depends on whether you believe in Lawrence at all. But the money makes it hard to want to take that bet.
The money makes it hard, and then him being the number one overall pick, and now what are we, year 3-4, and they might be the number one overall pick. That also... I know QBs are, QB wins is not a stat. I get it, but that's a tough look.
It's a tough look.
It's longer than that, right?
Lawrence,
this is his fourth year.
Fourth year?
Yeah.
That looks even worse.
Maybe over? Yeah, I think that we know this. Maybe this is Eichel a little bit, where it's like there's such high expectations, and then as you go along, the longer you go before you reach them, the more tense and even ugly it can get. So guys like that sometimes just have to go to new teams. Like, you sort of just both agree, this isn't good for us, it's not good for you, and then you go to your new team and, good luck to you. So I think it's a little bit of that with Lawrence. I don't know how disliked or anything he is there or unpopular he is as a player, but, I know what the consensus is about him overall, which is like it's very suspect. What he'll be able to do in his career. Well,
all right, I'm fine with them then here.
Jags?
Yeah.
Okay. 12.
And I'll say Browns next then.
Okay. 11, New England?
I guess it has to be. I really feel like Drake May is... The arrows are pointing up big time with him, but the rest of the roster still is just so lacking.
Yeah, the roster's bad.
And there's really not another team. Like, everybody, all the other, teams that would be vying for a spot here are already behind them or above them. Excuse me. Well, how do we do this again?
Above.
Okay. I think New England almost has to be next, because then you're into the Bengals and the Dolphins and the Colts. New England does not outrank any of those teams, but May looks nice. Like, he's getting a lot of, I think, pretty rave reviews here.
Completely agree. 10.
I'll say Bengals.
Miami. Who would you rather play? Not close for me.
Not close, okay.
Not really. Not close for me.
I think it's close. The Bengals have been scary to me. I just don't think they're what they've been on defense anymore. And Miami's defense, Chop Robinson looks like a weapon coming off the edge. Really, ever since the Bills rematch. I feel like they're, I don't know, I'm kind of not nuts about the idea of Miami sneaking in and having to deal with them a third time this year myself.
I'm going to go Miami here, but I'm much closer. I had to think about that.
9.
Bengals.
I'll say Bengals, yeah.
I think they're just too top-heavy. Burrow and Chase are truly top five guys at their position. Trey Hendrickson's also really good, but most of that Chargers game was bad. And then the Chargers try to blow it. Bengals are great, but... Ooh.
8. Indianapolis. Again, who else would it be?
Right. I mean, it's Denver or them. And I'm flip a coin. I said at the outset here, like, I don't know, the middle region, I'm not really going to be splitting hairs. They're all pretty similar to me. So, no use really pounding the table. I don't feel strongly about one or the other.
Denver deserves some credit. Nobody wanted to give them any. No benefit of the doubt was afforded the Broncos. Bo Nix was, like, around early.
Mm-hmm.
The coach was kind of embarrassing and maybe just sort of past his prime, if you will. And, like, they're surviving.
Yeah, Nix is getting... I saw him after the weekend mentioned as, like, hey, you know, at least consider him for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I mean, Jaden Daniels has been cruising to that award, seemingly. But maybe Nix, I don't know, there's still, you know, still a lot of football left.
I got a text this morning from Sneaky Joe about Bowers for this. Probably going to break the tight end records.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy on Friday was like, Nix is still a candidate for that award. We didn't talk about Bowers. Maybe that's just too unlikely. But another huge game for him on Sunday. On a bad team, too. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
7, Houston.
Love it.
Pretty good night.
Sure. They're playing Dallas. I mean, everybody beats Dallas by 20 at home in Dallas. So
holy cow.
Just what a joke they are.
The first play, the Collins play that got called back.
I did not see the beginning.
I mean, what, 89 yards or something on the first play on a screen pass?
Oh, wait, no, I did. I was there for that. I'm sorry. Yes, I did see that.
Rule of cool, it should have stood, but right. We get it.
Illegal formation. Craig Rolstad was the ref last night. Over recent years, it's got to be intentional. The NFL wants these, like, hulking bodybuilder types to be the referees. Like, you've just got biceps ripping through the jerseys now at the referee position, if you will, except for him. He is full dad bod, like, 5 o'clock shadow. He's my guy. Like, he's fighting against big, hulking muscle refs.
Right.
It's
all Ed Hockley's fault.
It's going to be a lawsuit. At some point, he'll get fired, and it'll be because he can't bench 300 pounds, and he'll win in court.
Wow, you showed up loaded on the ref from last night. I love it.
Well, I wanted to tweet it. All I did tweet was, like, they called penalties on the first two plays, and then, Joe Buck, it must be Monday. Both obviously correct calls, but no, let's blame the refs. We don't want them to call penalties because, you know, it's a TV show. We don't want that. We don't want it to be fair. We just want to make sure everybody gets home on time. I really dislike and resent that from announcers, you know? Like, at least acknowledge that the calls are right before you have your yucks over the fact that, oh, must be Monday. What? Is that even a thing, by the way? Like, are there Bills Jets on the Monday night was loaded with flags.
Mess, yeah.
But, like, really? I mean, let's see the chart on that, Joe. Let's see that. Let's see the proof. Let's see. Let's just maybe care about that calls being right should probably be made. You know? Maybe. 6. Chiefs.
No.
Denver.
I'm not going to the Chiefs before
Denver should have beat
the
them.
Other two teams in their division at this point. I'm not going to do that myself. I'm rocked by this Chiefs choice. I'll say Denver as well.
Denver should have beat them.
Sure.
On the road.
I agree.
They didn't, but they should have. Five.
Chargers.
Kansas City.
Chiefs.
I couldn't get there with
wow.
Denver right. being over them, but yeah.
You lost a game now. Now we can be fair and honest about how they right. look, which all is right. they look like they kind of suck. And they have
that,
all
I
year.
I don't know that I'd go to kind of suck, but they just don't look like the best team you've ever seen. And they oh. didn't look like an unbeaten team, but they were.
Right. I mean, again, you can say, so what? A lot of people would say, so what to this? But if they didn't have their history, we would talk about them like they were that Vikings team or the Steelers the one year, mm-hmm. which is like, this is the luckiest team going. And I think that's still right. I mean, I think even, yes, they've won. You can give them more benefit of the doubt for what happens down the road because of that, but that doesn't change this idea that, like, because, you know, they're winning every game by 3 points, that it somehow is impressive. I mean, it's not impressive. Four. Pittsburgh. Sorry. Oh, L.A. is still there?
The Chargers are still there. I'll stick with them for now.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh at four. Three.
L.A. Chargers? The Chargers are going to be three here? Yesterday, I was wondering if I was overreacting to watching them on Sunday night and really sitting with them for the first time and kind of talking them up, and I think you felt like maybe I was, and here they are, three.
Last week, five. Week before, four.
Harbaugh effect right there.
Steady climb. All right.
Descent or descent.
Thank you. Yes.
Two.
Baltimore.
Got to be, right? Four losses.
Yeah.
One Bills.
Sure. They beat the Bills. All right.
Imagine. I mean, it's not supposed to work like this, but imagine like everything that we've just been talking about and feeling for the last few days, that game, and then yesterday, just everybody reveling in it, and we show up and put the Ravens as number one.
Well, they beat the Bills. I mean, not only did they beat them, they blew them out.
And their four losses, including one on Sunday.
To a team that only kicked field goals against them.
Nah, that seems a little much. Bills at one. It's deserved. There it is. Reverse AFC Power Rankings, powered by Empire Electric. Your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. Trista Crick after the break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Joe Douglas's contract was up after this season. I don't know that he wanted to stay there anyway, but the Jets made it simple on him today. And obviously, Woody Johnson fired him this morning, just as he fired Robert Saleh on a Tuesday morning last month. And so the Jets are starting from the ground up again.
It would seem. Adam Schefter, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, joined now by Trista Crick. I feel like Trista kind of thought this would happen too.
Fellow Jets hater, Trista. Yeah. Jets. Wonder Twin Powers activate you and me over here on the Jets train to hell. What's up, kid?
There's nothing better than feeling like your prediction and what you imagined in your mind as what could happen at the end or even in the middle of the season comes to fruition in even more of a disastrous, fiery dumpster kind of a way.
Please tell me what that's like. Thinking you know what's going to happen in sports and then it actually does. Can you just describe the feeling?
Yeah, I mean, you've been on the receiving end when I keep telling you what teams I don't want to take in Survivor and then they lose.
Well, we're still surviving.
We're alive.
We're alive. Alive. Week 12.
I love our collaborations, though. I love our collaborations.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. We took Miami last week. Yeah. And once kickoff,
why didn't you want to take Detroit? What?
Why was that? Why didn't we?
Yeah, why? And I know you said you texted me and said I don't want to take Detroit, and I never followed up on why.
Because
did you feel like it was like a letdown spot.
No, because I thought they would be chalky. I thought they're mm-hmm. so good we might want to use them later. Here's Miami, which yeah. has three wins and they're a touchdown favorite. And yeah. I think on Thanksgiving week we have to pick two teams. And the Lions host Chicago.
Got it. That's such a smart idea. So smart.
But I started to say I was surprised that out of, I think it was 75 remaining entries, 41 picked Miami, and the second most of any team was 9. So a lot of people were thinking the same way on the Dolphins. And, you know, that was pretty smooth, right?
It was. What was your reluctance around Houston? Did you think that there was like a Cooper Rush bounce back, or did you feel like maybe we were going to take Houston later?
I don't think Houston's really good. And when it's so one way on a team like it is with Dallas now, I get scared. Like, just I thought they will not have as bad a game. And they really didn't. But still, they could not compete at all.
They scored 10 points.
They scored 10 points.
They just couldn't.
And Lamb had a game. I was so nervous about this game that I came close, Bulldog knows, to taking CeeDee Lamb out for Tank Dell in a big fantasy league. Because
a big gaffe.
I mean, he's got a back injury. He's on the injury report. Couldn't you see a game where, like, there's one they get behind?
And he gets dinged and it's just like, what are we even doing here?
That's it.
Right? Yeah.
Either guy would have won for us, but Lamb was the choice for sure. So, on to week 12. You might have seen Trista if you happen to have been at, I don't know, there's a list, right? A Purdue basketball game, the Bears game, something else.
You got a college football game in there, too.
Oregon,
somewhere.
Wisconsin, right. Of course, yes. I mean, you had a weekend.
It was an awesome weekend, and every single game had drama. Even though Oregon, Wisconsin, as a fan, as an Oregon fan, it wasn't fun. There were no fun moments in there, only moments of relief. And I actually took Wisconsin moneyline as an emotional hedge, just knowing that right before a bye, going into a place like Camp Randall, that would be such an Oregon place to lose. And we almost did. If it wasn't for that ineligible man downfield, Wisconsin would have scored, and we would have lost that game. So, yeah, but it was every single one of them were great. Purdue was one of the best environments I've ever been to, like loudest games I've ever been to. Mackey Arena is super fun. I highly recommend. Camp Randall was fine, but obviously that came down all the way to the end of the game. And then Bears Packers ended up being at first like pretty slow, where I wanted to take a nap at halftime. I kind of low key did. And then what we saw with that last sequence, I had a fan right behind me who was, Cairo Santos is the GOAT. Packer fans, go home. You guys are trash. We're finally going to beat you during a timeout. And I look back at him. I'm like thinking in my head, I've mushed so many games doing just this. I don't know how this is going to happen, but it feels like it's going to happen. And the field goal was blocked. So, yeah, that was a fun walk through Grant Park with a bunch of sad Bears fans.
How do you not know? We've been there here in Buffalo. How do you not know to wait before the field goal? How do you just not know that? How do you celebrate? Yeah. It's the equivalent of waltzing into the end zone but dropping the ball at the 1 yard line. Like, how do you not secure that ball and make sure you win first? I mean, you can wait. Yeah. Your taunt can wait 10 seconds. Really?
10 seconds. It was because there was no cheering. It was just a quiet moment in the stadium. He felt like chirping.
Mm-hmm. No.
And I look back at him after the field goal is blocked, and I go, was that you? Was that you who did that? Really? You're going to cost your team a win for that? And he's like, oh, you Packer fans. I said, no. I have no dog in this fight. I don't care who wins this game. I had Packers money line just for the parlay. But what you did is inexplicable. You should be banned from Soldier Field for doing that.
Wouldn't you love to sit with her at a game? I mean, would that not be the best?
I had a great time when we were together last winter before another Bills playoff loss. I think was that before the Chiefs game? Trista, I don't remember when we hung out.
Yeah, that was. Right. Aren't you guys glad I didn't go? You guys probably would have lost if I.
Oh, to this game on Sunday? Yeah. I was going to ask you, like, did you, because you had such a busy weekend enjoying all Wisconsin has to offer. I imagine you didn't get a chance to sit much with Bills Chiefs.
I didn't get to. I saw it in the hotel. Mm-hmm. I came back to the hotel and watched, like, the last three quarters.
All right.
And boy, oh boy, it feels like this team is more balanced than they've been before. Less egos, Josh Allen sort of figuring out a way to to impact the game by just willing his way to it. You know, at 4th-and-3 or 4th-and-2, whatever it was, when it looks like 69 had him. He had him, just missed the tackle, and that would have been probably an opportunity for Pat Mahomes to come in and do Pat Mahomes things. So that was definitely like a big moment. But yeah, I think I'm enjoying watching these Bills more. I don't know if you guys are feeling that way, but just how you can spread the sugar around and not have to hand spoon feed Steph Diggs 10 targets a game has been nice.
It does feel better. I mean, this is what the fans wanted, was to win without him, I think, you know. It had kind of run its course. But it's too soon for me, right? Like, they still just do not have, beyond Shakir, who's fine, but sort of like a go-to guy in that passing game, and I still think they're going to need that, and maybe somebody they have becomes that, or maybe they won't need it, you know? Like, they didn't need it. They haven't needed it for a while here. It's still just, I'm a little bit uneasy, because I think their offense is, I guess I want to say, limited, even with Allen. And they're scoring 30 points a week.
Right. Their point differential is really good. I said it this way, talking about it. I feel like they're good at more things than they have been in the past. They might not have the high end with the passing game, but it's still, I mean, plenty good. I mean, they're scoring a ton of points, and I think they're just more well-rounded, it feels like to me. Like, they're, you know, they can lean on their run game. They're doing some different things schematically with these wide receiver screens, especially to Shakir, and the defense is kind of, the beat goes on the defense, and they're going to get reinforcements there. Matt Milano's coming back to pair with Bernard. They barely got to play together. Like, Bernard was a question mark when he was playing with Bernard, or with Milano at the beginning of last season, and Milano gets hurt in week 5, and they're never a pair, really, when Bernard was like suddenly this guy, like, oh, he's really good. Now we know he's really good, and you're getting Milano back, so it feels pretty good.
And I think what you're seeing is maybe, and Sal talked about this in the offseason a lot, about how the Bills were planning to use Curtis Samuel, and I was like, we'll see about that, you know? I've heard that about Curtis Samuel a ton. And so the last couple of games, 4 receptions, 5 receptions, he's got a long of 21 yards, he gets into the end zone. He looked very quick, too. That last game, especially in that touchdown, I didn't even know it was him. When I saw Samuel, I couldn't even process that it was Curtis Samuel, because he looked so athletic. So I think they're figuring out a way to integrate him into the offense, maybe slowly. He's had a couple of games off, as you guys obviously know. So I don't know if he's an X factor, but I think when you've got guys like that who have been successful in the past in the league, that can take pressure off of your tight ends, who can take pressure off of, Keon Coleman, the rookie. And I like Ray Davis. I mean, as somebody who has him in Dynasty, he's a nice change of pace.
With Trista Crick, the Bills are doing what a team needs to do for their quarterback to win the MVP. And that's with that quarterback, you know, making spectacular plays, if not setting record-setting statistics down. And that's winning games. Like, the MVP goes to a quarterback on a top team. And right now, I mean, the Bills have beaten Kansas City. They're kind of on their way. So Allen is a small favorite over Lamar Jackson. His team has now lost 4 games, having the better numbers year. But still, I mean, we talk about this now, Trista, with our guests, like Sam Panayotovic on Friday. And he takes it into, well, I wouldn't bet any of these guys now because the prices are too short. But if you had to predict who would win the award, I mean, Allen seems like the kind of the right choice right now.
Absolutely. The team, like I said, the fact that there's no go-to guy that you can just give the credit to, you have to give the credit to Josh Allen, right? Like, there's no go-to guy that's a star. And so, yeah, I totally see why he should win it. Lamar, like you said, the Ravens are just, in specific moments, they look very shaky. And to be honest, who should really win it is Joe Burrow. But Cincinnati's a mess. Yeah. I don't know what is going on there. I saw some stat that with what we've seen from Joe Burrow statistically, all the other quarterbacks that have done this up into this year, or up in history, including now, are like 13-win quarterbacks. So So the fact that Cincinnati is as performing as poorly as they are, and he's 20-1, it's kind of a sad thing considering that Ja'Marr Chase is probably going to win the Triple Crown, and he's just doing Joe Burrow things, like not losing a step. But, yeah, in terms of what the profile looks like for an MVP and what the team needs to do and what the surrounding cast normally has, yeah, I think he's going to win it.
Tonight, the Cleveland Cavaliers at 15-0 are a 5-point underdog against Boston. Is that right? I mean, should that be what the line is? And how many games this year, this season, Trista, do you think Cleveland wins?
How many in the season as a whole, or how many in a row?
How many for the whole year? Like, is that a 7? It's not a 70-win team. Like, that's, it's not a historically great team.
It could be. Like, there are a lot of people outside of tonight's outcome, which I think that they are live to win. I think the way that this team plays, considering what they do really well, which Evan Mobley has taken a step. The whole reason that Kenny Atkinson is here on this team is because he had a plan to utilize and squeeze all of the talent out of Evan Mobley, and we're seeing that. Like, he is the centerpiece now and the fulcrum of the offense, and their motion, guys are cutting without the ball. They're getting easy, open looks. It's spreading the floor in a unique way that's not five out. So I think this is very sustainable. If they win tonight against Boston, they could, if you look at the rest of the schedule, they could not easily but realistically beat the Warriors' record of 24 in a row. They could get 25 in a row. And if they do that, then, yeah, this could be a 70-win team. They're so deep, too. There's so many role players that are able to shoot well from three. They're able to do a bunch of different things. I talked about this on social media a couple of weeks ago. Ty Jerome, who, by the way, 6'5", played for Virginia on a national title team, you know, knows Donovan Mitchell since he was a little kid in Jersey. So there's a lot to like. You know, undrafted free agent Sam Merrill. You've got a lot of no names. And Max Strus, who's been injured the entire year. They're going to get him back soon. George Niang. So, yeah, I think that they're for real. I think this could be a historic record team, but we're going to have to see. It's only 15 games in.
Does your dog eat tissues?
Yeah, she ate tissues.
2-1.
Oh, my God.
2-1 in this club here for, yes, the dog eats tissues.
Yeah, oh, that's the only thing that she likes. If she
it is, yes.
Kleenex, it's shredded. You just come in and it's just an explosion of tissue.
Yep. And does she do it so that you'll give her like a piece of fruit or a treat so that you get the tissue cleaned up and get it out of her mouth?
No, she leaves it around. She leaves them on the floor.
Right. That's what Fred doesn't really eat.
Them.
Fred doesn't eat them. He very rarely does this, but occasionally, you know, couple times a month, maybe. I'll walk upstairs and there's something out of the bathroom garbage can on the hallway floor, but it's not really mauled. It's just like a head on a post. He's just like, you know, I could do some stuff. I'm not gonna, but I could really do some stuff.
Yeah.
She could really do some stuff too. We have boxes in this yard. Well, her and I do. And she is quite a bit smaller than a fox. She's 13 pounds. They're probably 25 pounds. And she patrols. I let her out in the backyard with no leash, and she ran the fox. Two foxes had to go in separate directions, and she chased one and got the fox to drop the dead squirrel from his mouth. That's how afraid they are of her, because her growl is so intimidating and she's so fast. I don't know why she's that intimidating, but they're not going to walk by unadulterated on her watch.
With that, Trista Crick, anything you want to promote?
Just the Social Heat Check podcast 3 times a week. Anywhere you get your podcast, find me on Instagram, find me on Twitter, Trista_Crick. DM me, say hi. I'm probably going to be traveling a lot for some of these games. I'm going up to Brooklyn for Paige Bueckers on December 7th. So if anybody's there, come say hi.
Like it. Thanks, Trista. Talk to you next week or Sunday.
See you guys.
Yeah.
Yep. See ya.
Survivor. We've got to figure that out.
Oh, okay.
Week 12.
It was like, we have a show on Sunday? What's going on here?
All right. 6 teams on bye. Makes it a little tougher. Ross Tucker early today, 4 o'clock. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR. Again, that'll be at 4 today.
Ross has a game tonight, so we'll have him on in about 10 minutes. Right now, caller 5 at 716-221-4WGR, 4947. Wins a pair of tickets to see Goo Goo Dolls at KeyBank Center, Saturday, August 9th. That's in the year 2025, courtesy of New Day Live. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. Going to that? Probably.
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't be against it. It's been a very, 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 very long time since I have seen that band live in person. So, huge venue. I mean, I used to see them in clubs. Yeah, I'm old.
That's like the whole the MVP betting thing, where I don't want to bet Allen at plus 150 if I didn't bet him at plus 900. Right. I don't want to see him in an arena.
I need to see the Goo Goo Dolls at the arena when I saw him in like my friend's apartment.
Yeah. Why go to the arena to see him? I just have him over.
It's a much different show now, I think, than it was back in, you know, the late 80s, but still, nonetheless, or mid 80s, whenever it was. Ratings news on the Bills Chiefs, by the way. I don't know if you saw this on your socials here. 31.2 million viewers on CBS. It says here, outside of Thanksgiving or Christmas, it's the best NFL regular season game since a Pats-Colts meeting in Week 9 of 2007. So, pretty good job. A lot of hype around the game. They brought their whole pregame show here, and it all worked.
It really is like the premier NFL matchup right now, and that supports that. Ross Tucker after the update. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.